Okay, we are on Daf Nun Gimel Amid Aleph in Ksubis in the Schottenstein Gemara's 53A1, the bottom of the second column. Okay, in the regular Gemara's, it's about 15 lines from the top of the page. 18 lines in the top of the page. Okay, this is a relatively new piece of Gemara, but it's relevant to know what we learned before. There's a ksuba that's called Benin Dichrin. Benin Dichrin is when a guy marries a woman, he writes a or is supposed to stipulate, the halacha is, even if he doesn't stipulate it, it's considered stipulated, that any kids that you have from me, from this marriage, will inherit your ksuba above and beyond the other kids who are getting their mother's ksuba. Okay? To rephrase it again for those that weren't here, or those that don't remember, including me. Benin Dichrin means, let's say, normal minimal ksuba for a virgin is 200 ziz. But you can give more. Okay? So a guy was married to one wife. Her ksuba was 200. Now the guy's marrying another wife. He also has to give her a ksuba. But whatever reason is, he's writing her a ksuba 500 zuz. Not 200, it goes above and beyond, 500. Now, both wives die first. Who inherits the wives? Husband. The husband. If a wife dies, the husband inherits her. Now, so you have $700 of ksuba, 200 and 500, right? From the two wives. Now there's a bunch of kids. So normally, how would you divide it? Take the 700 and divide it up equally amongst the X amount of kids. But this Benin Dichrin means that the kids from this wife get the 500. The kids from the other wife get 200. And the rest of it, they divide equally. Okay? That's what the Gemara is discussing at great length until now.
What do you mean the rest of it?
The rest of his inheritance, the rest of the estate, the kids get. Okay, now, boy minei Rav Yemer Sov Mirav Nachman. Rav Yemer Sov asked a question from Mirav Nachman. What happens if machra ksubasa lebaila? The woman sold her ksuba to her husband. That means, what's the concept of a ksuba? Concept of the ksuba is if the husband dies or divorces her, he has to give her that amount of money. 200, 500, whatever the amount is, right? Now, what a woman, technically, what happens if the wife dies first? Then there's no ksuba, right? It's only if the husband dies or divorces, then the wife gets the ksuba. But even if the wife had other kids, okay, but she dies before the husband, there's no ksuba, right? Ksuba is only if the husband dies.
He still owes the money to the kids.
No. There's no ksuba. Ah. Ksuba is only if he dies first, then the estate pays her the ksuba.
So, but did you say if there was 500 and 200, he gets 700?
Right. When she dies first, so he inherits the money.
Right.
Okay.
Well, he has the money, but
he, right. What does it mean? He inherits that money. The kids don't get it. Her kids don't get it. The husband gets it. Okay. Now, what happened if a woman's a gambler? And she says, you know what? And people used to do this. There's 50-50 chance who dies first. As a rule, right? 50-50. Now, let's say the ksuba is $200. What used to go on in the olden days is, a woman wanted cash, for whatever reason. So she would find a buyer, a gambler, she would sell him the ksuba for $100. What's the risk he's taking? If the husband dies first, he's going to get the 200. Because he bought her ksuba. Right? He bought the rights. But if the wife dies first, then the guy's out $100 that he paid to the woman because there's not going to be any ksuba. Correct?
Right.
Simple. But now the Gemara is taking, there are cases when the wife sold the ksuba to her husband. Instead of somebody else for $100, she sold the ksuba to her husband for $100. What's the gain? If she dies first, then he gets the $100. But if he dies first, then the estate only pays, no, he pays nothing. The estate doesn't pay anything because he bought the ksuba. It's his. He doesn't have to pay the wife anything, right? So the question is, if the wife sells the husband the ksuba, does she forfeit this benin dichrin thing that the kid gets the mother's ksuba money? You know, when she sold the ksuba, did she sell all the rights of the ksuba? Or did she only sell the basic 200 zuz of the ksuba? What did she sell? That was the question.
I have a simple question. Husband and wife, they're not allowed to live together without the ksuba.
Oh, good point. No. Good point. So it says here at the bottom, here. Here. Although we have learned it's forbidden for a man to live with his wife if she does not have a ksuba. So how could she sell him a ksuba? She has no ksuba. So he says like this, the sale is still valid. So either they're living in sin together, or they don't live together anymore. But they're still married.
Are you saying when she sells him a ksuba, that means there is no ksuba in the marriage anymore?
Well, she doesn't have a ksuba.
Does it
differ? A man is not allowed to live with his wife if there's no ksuba.
No
difference.
She has to be the owner of the ksuba.
And that's why the mefarshim, he brings on at the bottom, the mefarshim discussed that point of it. But there's a din, a man cannot live with his wife if there's no ksuba. If a woman loses her ksuba, she has to right away go write a new ksuba. It's called ksuba deyachasa. If they, you know, that happens a lot of times, people lose their ksubas, and they realize they lost it, and they have to go rewrite, it's called a lost ksuba. The special text. One second. So, if the wife sells the ksuba to somebody else, or to the husband, bottom line, she doesn't have a ksuba. Because it's not hers anymore. Now, to the contrary to public belief, the purpose of a ksuba is to protect the woman's rights that she should be have financial money if the husband dies. Right? Therefore, the din is to protect the woman's rights. The Gemara says, Aloha is, a man cannot live with his wife if they don't have a ksuba. Because she needs protection. Now, when she sells the ksuba to somebody else, whether the somebody else is somebody else or the husband, bottom line, she doesn't have a ksuba. Right? That doesn't mean, though, the sale is not a sale. The sale stays a sale. And they're living in sin. But the sale's still a sale. It doesn't matter. The sale's a sale, but they're living in sin. Or they're not living together anymore. They're married. Legally married, but they're not living together, so there's no need of a ksuba. If I sell, on Shabbos you're not allowed to do business, you know, most of the world's business is done in shul, but officially, they say Nishum Shabbos Givet. Okay. If I sell you this chair on Shabbos for $20, you give me $20, you pick up the chair. It's your chair, yeah? It was done on Shabbos when it was a sin to do. Is the sale a sale?
Yeah.
Yes. The sale's a sale. You know, you don't mix business and religion. Business is business. No, that's the halacha. Shabbos, it's sold. So, the mefarshim must explain, even though technically, how could a woman sell a ksuba? She doesn't have a ksuba, but it doesn't matter. Okay, let's go right to the Gemara. So the question over here is, because she sold it to the husband, did she give up all the rights that she had, or only the basic rights? Yes, the ksuba's been in dichrin. I ain't the ksuba's been. Does she have this ksuba that the boys collect different amounts or not? Amalei Rava said to Rav Yemir Sava, "V'tibar lach mecheles." You should have inquired a more common case when the woman forgave the ksuba to the husband. She didn't sell it. She forgave. She said, "You know what? I'm mechel the ksuba. If you die, you don't need the ksuba. I don't need the ksuba." Why? First of all, it's a more common occurrence. Okay? So then he says like this. So what Rav is basically saying is, the fact that you hold, that if she was meichel the ksuba, she forgave the ksuba, she waived the ksuba, then benin dichrin she would have that right. Why? Because she's not getting anything by it. When she sells the ksuba to the husband, she at least gets something for it. So So that would think she gives up all the rights to the ksuba. Right? But in the case where she just waives the ksuba, where she gets absolutely nothing, maybe she's not waiving that right of benin dichrin also, that the boys get more, the bigger ksuba. Maybe not. So Amalei, so he answered him back like this. Hashtim echeres kami boili. I had a question about a case where a woman who sold the ksuba. Okay? And he holds, he says, to me there's no difference. Why am I asking about selling and not mechila? So like this. Alpha gav the ika lemei mezuzi answer. You know, let's analyze this situation broader perspective to understand the Gemara better. When the woman sells the ksuba, is she selling every part of the ksuba or the fundamental ksuba? Okay, there's a basic ksuba, 200.
You're asking, is she giving up all her rights to it?
Did she give up all the rights of the ksuba? Or is she giving up only the basic rights of the ksuba?
She gave up the chukkah too.
So. 1 minute. That's the Gemara's question. If she sells the ksuba to the husband, right? Is she selling him the every right to the ksuba? And therefore, eventually when the husband dies, her kids are not going to get more than any other kid? Because she gave up that right? Or do we say no? The husband gets the ksuba, but that right, that her kids get more of the ksuba than the other kids get from that ksuba, which is more, they're not going to get. Okay? So he asked them, why don't you ask a question more common about meichel, waiver? He said, because let's analyze the situation, he says. When she sells it, she gets something. Money. When she waives it, she gets nothing. Now, where is more logical that she'll give up her rights to the entire ksuba? When she gets something or when she doesn't get something? Obviously when she gets something. So therefore he's asking, I'm asking better than you. I'm asking not only when they're meichel, right? I'm asking even in the case where she gets something from it, I'm asking, does she sell the entire ksuba? Or does she just sell the basic ksuba. So he says, Alpha gav the meikel and meimak. I say like this. Because she was forced, why would a woman sell this ksuba?
Maybe she needs the money.
She needs desperate for money. Right? That mean I would say, command the mochle mei uchle bochazeg. He dealt her 100 blows with an uchla. An uchla is the name of a weight. So mecheles biboy, so after that's when she waves the ksuba, she loses all the rights. In other words, there's more reason to say that the woman gives up her rights by selling because she's desperate and she gets money at least from it than when she waives. That's what my question is. So the Gemara, by the way, doesn't answer the question. But his question is, does she die or not? So Rava differentiates, okay? Rava says like this. Pshitalei, it's obvious to me that merchik subasa lachedim, if she sells the ksuba to another guy. Okay? Yeshuk suba has been indichin, the stipulation of the male children she still has. Meaning like this. This woman had a $500 ksuba. Right? She sold it to somebody else. $250, whatever. Because it's a gamble. Lepeo, she died first. So there's no ksuba. So her husband gets the money. Right? But he has kids from different wives. Does her kids get the extra ksuba money, 500?
Yes.
Or not?
Yes.
So he says, one thing is for sure. If she sells the ksuba to somebody else, for sure, yashtok zibik ksuba's been indichted. That she never sold to anybody else. That right, she never sold to anybody else. My timer, Zuza and Saw, she was forced to sell. Mecheles ksuba labaila, if she waved the ksuba to the husband, by me as a given, he says, Elo ksuba's been indichted. She doesn't have it. Because if she waves the ksuba, she waves it all. My time, she waved the ksuba, so she wasn't forced to do it. She wasn't forced to waive it. She waived it because she wanted to waive it. Right? By selling it, You could say like this. She was forced to sell it.
She was desperate for money.
So therefore, whatever she can get out of it,
she won't sell.
She wants, she's not selling.
But then what?
But if she waives it, why are you waiving it?
I don't get it.
Because you want to.
Yeah, but why?
So you're waiving the entire thing.
Why would somebody buy a kasuba that's not worth anything to them anyways? Like, if she's keeping all her rights, then what does that guy get?
He gets the money.
He gets the money from the kasuba.
If the husband dies first.
Oh, I see what you're saying. One second. But I thought she's waiving those rights.
He's waiving the rights that if she dies first, that the money goes to her children.
If she dies first, the guy that bought the ksuba doesn't get anything.
Right.
Right? So it goes back to the husband.
Right.
Now, the fact is she did sell the ksuba to somebody else. Did she sell those rights to somebody else also? And therefore her kids have no longer the rights to get this bigger ksuba over the other kid's ksuba?
No.
Okay? So that's what the Gemara is discussing.
I understand. If she sells it to that guy, doesn't the money that he dies, does not the money not go to her anymore, where the kids goes to that guy?
No, but she died first.
Oh, so she died. Oh, I see. So then she doesn't, then she...
Well, I said, if the woman dies first, there's no ksuba.
I got you.
If he dies first, then he gets the money.
Okay, so Ravi says like this. If she sells the ksuba to somebody else, she keeps the rights for her kids to get the big ksuba. Right? If she waives the ksuba to her husband, she gets nothing. So the Gemara says, now Rava's question is like this. If she sells the ksuba to the husband, what's the din? Is it like selling it to somebody else, or is it like waiving it to the husband?
Well, obviously there's a difference between waiving and selling.
That's his question. One second. So he says, boy, Rava Badrava asks, mecheres ksubasa lebaila. If she sells the ksuba to the husband, is like she sells it to somebody else, meaning her kids will still get, if she dies first, the kids will get when the father dies, her ksuba value more. Or is it kemechelis lebaila dummy? It's like waving it and then she gets nothing. So Rav asked the question. So he says like this. Boy, the boss of the boy, after Rav asked the question, then he answered it. And he paskin like this. Mecheres ksuba lebaila. If you sell the ksuba to the husband, it's like selling it to somebody else. Meaning she retains the rights that if she dies first and the husband gets her ksuba money and then the husband dies, her children are going to get it.
Because she's still doing it out of desperation.
Because she's doing it out of desperation. Correct. So the question basically is, when a woman sells something, how much of your rights are you giving up? Are you giving up all your rights? Or only the mandatory ksuba itself you're giving up?
When we talk about rights for in a ketubah, do we talk about feeding her, clothing her, all those things too?
Plus... In the olden times, it doesn't apply today. Because today you don't have two wives, it's a whole issue, it doesn't make sense, right? But what the stipulation, and the Mishnah said before, even if they don't write that in the ksuba, it's like written.
Right.
That her kids will get her ksuba value, the other kids will get their mother's ksuba value, right? And they don't divide it equally.
And they don't divide it.
That means one woman had a $200 ksuba. One woman had a $500 ksuba.
Right.
Both women died first, before the husband.
Okay.
So there's no payout.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So the husband gets the $700 now.
Right.
Now the husband dies.
Okay.
Do you divide it $350 and $350?
No.
Or do you get $500 and $200? So the benin dichrin means the kid gets $500 and this kid gets $200. Correct? Even though really there was no payout of the ksuba, but that's the stipulation was called benin dichrin. So now the question is, when she sells the ksuba to somebody else, does she sell that right too? Or she's only selling him that if the husband dies first, he gets the ksuba, which is the normal. Or is she also selling that if she dies first, and the husband inherits the ksuba, and then the husband dies, does her kid get more than the others? So that's the question, yes or no, waiving mechila or selling. So that was Rava's conclusion.
Is ketubah like, I owe you not or not?
The language of the ksuba. You know what the ksuba says. I mean,
no, but it has like value. Like I owe you. The husband says,
it's
no.
An IOU, but it's an IOU if he dies first.
Yeah, it should come with all the rights. No.
Yeah, but what happens if I sell the ksuba?
Ketubah comes with the IOU and with all the rights. Forget it. You cannot differentiate between those two.
No, you could. There's the main ksuba, and there's the additional ksuba. What did she sell to somebody else? Let me ask you a very simple question. Logic, no, just logically. The woman sells the ksuba to him. Yeah? He's only buying it that when the husband dies and there's a ksuba payout, that's what he's buying. Right? If the wife dies first, what's he buying?
He gets nothing.
Gets nothing. Right? So what is he buying?
It's like a gamble.
He's buying that if the husband dies, he'll get the ksuba. Correct? But he's not buying that if she dies first, that he's not buying. So what is she selling? She's selling, Gemara's thinking, she's selling only the major part of the ksuba. That if the husband dies, this guy's gonna get it instead of the wife. Right? But why should she be selling, this is the Gemara's question, why should she be selling the second right that she has, that if she dies first, and then the husband gets it, and then the husband dies, her kids get that. What does it have to do with him?
But why would the outsider buy that? Why would he take a risk?
They're gamblers.
The gamblers?
Yeah, he's planning to kill the guy.
It's an investment.
He's planning to kill the guy.
The chance could be that the husband...
There's the mafia on him.
The chance could be that the husband doesn't die first.
Right. But he has a mafia hit on him.
Okay.
Could be the husband's old and sick. I mean, whatever. You know, people gamble.
Do they need a shtar for this when she does a transaction?
The mechira. You can either have a transaction or
she
physically gets the ketubah.
Yeah, if she wants to do it legally, she would go to Bezdin.
Otherwise, how would they be able to collect?
Okay, so they know. Obviously, we're not talking about. Nobody's debating. Nobody's denying the fact that she sold it or waived it. That everybody's agreeing. Question, what did she waive and what did she sell? Okay, but Masiv, Navidi, Barav, that's a question on Rav. We learned in the Braisa, Mesa, sorry, it's a Mishnah. If she died first, the wife died first, and Yarshin says, and Yarshin shows the Yarshin Ksubasa. Nobody inherits the ksuba. If she dies first, right, then the yarshim of her kids and other kids don't get the ksuba. What's the ksuba doing here? If she died first, there's no ksuba, right? What are we talking about? Papa explained this Mishnah that it means ksuba has been nindichin. That what it means they don't inherit it. Obviously, there's no Yerush because there's no ksuba. She died first. So we're probably talking about her children to inherit from the husband later the more money. So the question is, Hachanami, let us say, Yetzir Anosa, okay? She accepted this inferior testimony, I'll explain in a second, in order for her to get married. Okay? Now, it says like this. What was the case over here? The case is like this. This is a very simple case, but it's not what we're talking about here. Okay. The din is like this. Normally, to testify that a husband died, you need two witnesses. In order for a woman to remarry, you need two witnesses. Now, what happens, the Mishnah says like this, in Yevamos. One witness came, and testified the husband died. So the Mishnah says, Chachamim were lenient, and they allowed her to remarry. Why? Because she definitely, and she wants to get married. So definitely, we can trust her that she did her homework. Okay? And the Gemara calls it Chumra Shachmarta Aleha B'Seifa. the strictness that she's in a messer of bad. She messes herself up badly. Because like this. What happens? Man goes overseas. Okay? They didn't have emails, phones, texts, nothing, right? The guy went overseas. Who knows what happened to him? He's not coming home. One witness testifies the guy died. Okay? So if two testified that he died, go to Besdin. Besdin checks him out. Valid witnesses. Besdin says, okay, no problem. Go get married. The guy's dead. One witness come and testifies the husband died. So then there's a chachamim were lenient in this case that she can get married. Why? So the Gemara says the woman's not going to play games here. If she's not certain the husband died, she's not going to do it. Why? Because what happens if a month later the husband comes back?
She can't be with either one of them, right?
She can't stay with the first husband. She can't remain married to the second one. Asura labal, asura labal. She can't stay married to the first guy. She can't marry to the second guy. So she's not going to play games. Because if she does that, she's really out.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, what's the case over here like this? A single witness, okay, testified the husband died. Okay? Now, what happens over here? So now Mesa, if she dies, she died later. Well, it doesn't say Mesa. Okay? So the story is like this. Not only that, she loses her right to the ksuba also. If the husband comes back, okay, both have to divorce her. Does she get a ksuba?
No,
because she's not allowed to stay married to him. Correct?
Right.
Now, so the Mishnah over there says, her kids don't inherit, and the other kids don't inherit. The ksuba. Huh. So you might say, 1 minute, how does ksuba get here? There is no ksuba. She doesn't have a ksuba. No, not lost it. She lost the rights to the, right. Yeah. So we must say, it's baking. What do you mean the kids can't inherit? If her ksuba was more, and eventually the husband dies, are they going to get more than the other kids, right? But over here, it's like selling. Why? Why does she sell? Because she's desperate. Yeah? Why did she get married with one witness? Because she's desperate to marry.
Right.
So why is it different than selling? Just like the money forces her. Uh-huh. The Yetzer Hara is forcing her. So Gemara says, you're right. Hasim Knosu de Kansur Rabbanan. It's a fine. You're right. She really shouldn't get it. I mean, really, they would get it. Because like Benin Dichon, she was forced to sell the Ksuba, right? But the answer is, the Chachamim gave her a fine for playing games. Because she should have investigated better that the husband was taka dead.
But how would she do that?
Whatever it is, whatever it takes.
So this way the kids wouldn't inherit anything later.
Correct.
I see.
But how would she know that? How would she know where if a husband's dead or not? How would he's how? No one, there's no witnesses, so she can't get married anymore.
They can fax a picture over, you know, an email.
The old days,
I'm
talking about.
Oh.
Facebook.
Old days.
That Facebook.
The old days.
Old days was MySpace. Yeah, it was.
Hunting book.
They could Twitter. Like the president.
Instachat.
Okay. Now, the Gemara tells a story like this. Yosef Rabban Bar Chanina came to Rav Chisda. It's a very interesting Gemara. He said like this, Rav Chanina was sitting in front of Rav Chisda, and he said in the name of Rav Loza the following din. Mecheles ksuba lebaila ilo mezenas. Listen to this. Part of the stipulation of the ksuba is that when the husband dies, the woman is still fed from the estate, right, until she remarries. That's the unwritten stipulation of the ksuba, which is valid, even if it's not written, right? That if the husband dies, she gets sustained from the estate until she gets remarried, until she dies. Now, he said a statement to follow. What happens if the woman waives the right of the ksuba to her husband? She said, you don't have to give me the ksuba. Does she get fed? Okay, the money, $200, she doesn't get for sure. But does she get fed from the estate?
No.
So he says over here, Mishmed Rabbi Lazar, Mechelis ksuba lebaila, ein lo mezainis. She doesn't get sustained. Why? Because the sustaining of the food after the husband dies is a condition in the ksuba. Right? If she waives the ksuba.
It's like she waived the whole thing.
Yeah, she waives everything. So therefore, she doesn't get food. Meaning, she's out in the street, by the way. Unless the kids are nice guys, but they're usually not. Amalei, sort of history replied to him, and he said like this. Ilav de ko amritli mishmei de gavar rabba. If you didn't tell me this in the name of a